Christmas trees are put away. There's no manger to be seen in the sanctuary. The lights have been taken off the trees. They remind us of the stars in the sky on the holy night of Jesus' birth. We are the doldrums of the cold winter days and nights of January. We have entered from the cheerful Christmas season into the ordinary time in the Catholic liturgical calendar. We've changed the color of our vestments, and now we wear green. We Catholics have a similar view with our understanding of what ordinary time really means. It's just plain time in the Catholic Church. But when we think of the word ordinary, our natural associations are words such as typical, routine, even mundane. And why should the Church dedicate an entire season to this? The ordinary here does not refer to a season of dull routine, but rather a listing of ordinal or sequential numbers. And this is what we meant by the second Sunday in ordinary time, the third Sunday in ordinary time, etc. Interestingly, there's no first Sunday of ordinary time, because it is replaced by the feast of the baptism of the Lord. Now, rather than making a statement about degrees of importance, the term ordinary refers to the ordinary Sundays in the Church here that do not fall into major liturgical seasons of Advent, Christmas, Lent, or Easter. In the Catholic Church, the season of ordinary time consists of 33 to 34 weeks and is divided into two parts. The Roman Missal, which guides our liturgical functions, instructs that ordinary time begins on Monday following the Sunday after January 6th and continues until the beginning of Lent. Then it begins again on the Monday after Pentecost and ends on the Saturday before the first Sunday of Advent. Prior to our liturgical forms of Second Vatican Council, these periods of the calendar were referred to as the season after Epiphany and the season after Pentecost. Although ordinary time takes place in two parts, it is still considered a single season. It is easy to mistakenly think that liturgical year is about sanctifying time itself. The truth, however, my brothers and sisters, that liturgical year is about growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The richness of ordinary time is found in the opportunity to know Christ more intently in everyday realities of life. The gospel readings proclaimed on these Sundays reveal the teaching and healing and mission of Christ, allowing us to better understand God who became human. During this time, we learn that Christ is about humility rather than pride, vulnerability rather than power. We learn that Christ is about including the excluded, eating with the social and religious outcasts, and dismantling structures of sin and justice. We learn that Christ is about self-giving love, and that is only possible through authentic relationship in ordinary time. So ordinary time is anything but monotonous, my brothers and sisters. It is a time of conversion where we grow into what we are called to be in imitating the reality of Jesus himself. We also see in these readings on Sundays that we turn to the St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The letter of St. Paul to Corinthians is a pivotal text in the Catholic Church, providing a deeper understanding of the early Christian community's life and teachings. And Paul's letter to Corinthians, written in the early 50s, addresses the church's divisions, immorality, idolatry, and theological confusion. It sounds like today. Paul's message is aimed to restore harmony and strengthen their faith, emphasizing the importance of unity, sensibility of fragile faith, and the worship of God's Spirit. The letter also touches on issues such as marriage, food offering to idols, mass, charismatic gifts, and the centrality of love. And Paul wrote to correct these issues, providing theological instruction to these people and to encourage the believers to live in a manner which reflects their faith in Christ. And as we go through these letters, you'll see that there are four major themes. First is unity of the church. Paul emphasizes the importance of unity among believers, urging them to overcome division based on allegiances of different leaders. And this week we enter into the prayer for Christian unity itself. 2, moral conduct. The letter addresses issues of sexuality, morality, and ethical behavior, reminding the church that their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 3, spiritual gifts. Paul discusses the various spiritual gifts and their purpose within the church, highlighting the need to love and order in worship. And 4, the resurrection itself. A significant portion of the letter is dedicated to the resurrection of Jesus and its implications for believers, affirming the hope of eternal life. So you can see this letter is applying not only to the people of Corinth, but to us today. Paul, who had founded the community and continued to look rather accurate as a father himself, responds both to questions addressed to him in this letter and to situations of which we have been informed. And in doing so, Paul, he reveals much more about himself to you and me, his teachings, and the way in which he has conducted the work of apostleship. John the Baptist in today's gospel says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And my brothers and sisters, in the next 4 Sundays of ordinary time, let you reflect upon how and to know what Christ is in your lives. Have a deeper understanding of Paul's message to the Corinth community in preparation for Lent, starting on Ash Wednesday on February 18th. My brothers and sisters, it is far from being ordinary time. It's a time for you to walk towards your own salvation.